Amen. 7:11. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Never preached this before, ever. Kyle, if you want to put a title on this one, just put, "We found a heartbeat." We have a heartbeat. We have a heartbeat. It'll make sense maybe in the end. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Are you there? Are you looking at it? All right, let's look at it. And it came to pass, the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. There was a big crowd. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, "Weep not." Let's stop right there. Jesus, I was thinking about this in Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, they forgo the story of him raising this boy from the dead. I'm always amazed in certain scriptures how one apostle or one disciple or one writer of the Bible tells the story and the other one doesn't tell the story. They're about to tell John the Baptist, who's in the prison, who's about to be beheaded. They're trying to tell him right after this that Jesus is the Messiah. What's wrong with that? John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ. Can I show you what a forerunner is? I've learned this recently. Learned it, I think it was from my son or from my wife, but it really means anchor. Gives you a whole new meaning to anchors. Well, okay, if a ship was coming into port, a lot of times the port would be so narrow that they would have an anchor in the port. And what they would do is they'd have a forerunner who would get out of the boat in a smaller boat, take the anchor line and take it into the port and tie it to the anchor. And then would pull the ship on in where it wouldn't go side to side and hit rocks or be grounded. So the anchor was in the port, the forerunner went before, and the forerunner pulled the main ship into the port. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. He was sent before, and he was pulling the line, the line of repentance, the gospel line. And when he first sees Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And he was chosen to baptize Jesus in the Jordan River. He felt the same way I feel about Jesus. I'm not worthy. My God, Jesus steps down into the Jordan and says, "Baptize me." And he says, "I ain't worthy to latch your shoes. More or less do something spiritual to you. But guess what? I'm not here, John. It's the baptism. It's not about you. It's about what I'm going to do. I'm coming back where you can die and where you can come back. Some people will lay me in a tomb, but I won't stay there. This baptism is not about who you are. It's about who I am." The Father speaks from glory. "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." John the Baptist heard it. He said, "I see the Spirit descending like a dove. This is the Messiah. This is God with us." But he had a day. Golly. He had a day where he was sitting in a prison, knowing he was the forerunner, knowing he was a chosen man, knowing he baptized, done great stuff, done amazing stuff. God thought a lot of him. But he said, "Did we get the right one?" Somebody, I know we're not going to, listen, some days you're going to have a bad day. Even you, Christian, even you that's been saved, even there's going to be days where you don't feel like who you are. And you're going to have to ask somebody. You're going to have to ask somebody, "Is what I'm doing worth it? never mind. Have I done the right thing? Am I okay? Man, has anybody in here had to ask that question? Am I doing all right? Could somebody tell me if I'm okay? Be just saved as you want to be. Just as spiritual giant as you want to be. Some days the devil will get on your shoulder, he'll get in your ear, and not only him, but your flesh will be screaming. You're not enough. You're not good enough. You've not done enough. You'll never be good enough. You know what? Everybody else is talking about how good you are, but on that day you'll say, I don't even know if this is Jesus or not. Never. Golly. I wish we could get real for just a minute sometimes, even in church. Is this even the Messiah, or do we need to look for somebody else? Jesus said, you tell him. You tell him the deaf can hear, the blind can see. There's dead people being raised up. Luke tells a story. Nobody else does. But you know what he says too? He said the last thing he says, the gospel is being preached to the poor. He saved the best for last. Some of y'all think, man, I'd like to see a miracle. Why don't Jesus heal anymore? Why don't he raise people from the dead? Why don't he heal this? Why don't he do that? He healed to show that he was God. He saves because you know he's God. The greater miracle is the gospel. The greater miracle is that you're saved. Every person in this Bible that was healed, that was delivered, that was raised from the dead, that got their hearing back, got their eyes back, got a miracle healing, every one of them are in glory today. Every one of them are going into eternity. And they would tell you, you better get the gospel right before you get your body right. Amen? I love this story. I've never seen it before until recently. Jesus had power, but he also had pity. Do you have any? Sometimes we can have a lot of power, but no pity. We have no compassion. You know when you'll get compassion a lot of times? When something bad has happened to you too. Sometimes as Christians, we have the bar way up here until we fall short, until we get sick, until we get hurt. And then all of a sudden, our compassion level drops way down. And we want to sit with the lowly because we've been lowly. Jesus has much power, but he can have compassion. He sees her. Listen, write this down. If you're a widow woman, write this down. If you're older, write this down. If you're failing, write this down. If you got a plan. This widow woman had a plan. You know what it was? My son. My son, my husband's passed away, my future is hanging on my son. Man, what's wrong with that? The next thing is my son, my plan, my backup, my insurance plan. See, a woman in this time who's a widow is going to go into abject poverty in a day. Can't hold land, can't. Money, can't get a job. She's going to be begging. She's going to be so poor. She's going to be in poverty. I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody. Her biggest plan, her greatest plan, they're carrying it to the funeral. They're carrying it to the graveyard. I guarantee you everything in her mind, everything in her heart was saying, that was my plan. That was my idea. This was how I was going to get things done. And God, it don't seem like you care. Guess what? Change your plan. Change your backup plan. Change your idea of what's going to keep you going. Because what's going to keep you going is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Everything else will flow from that. Your backup plan, your insurance plan, your idea of what you could have can pass away before dawn. Some of y'all should have said amen. Some of you in here know. Some of you in here know that. Big plans, big ideas. Next year we're going to do this. Next year we're going to do that. Next year we're going to do that. And guess what? In 6 months, none of those plans are even important anymore. God is saying by this, make your plans on me. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand, but not me. Amen. I don't know why. I wrote this down in the note. I said, why in the world did Jesus pass by this funeral? The question would be, why didn't he pass by every funeral? Why didn't he just go to the graveyard and said, everybody come out? Because God was showing himself God and showing himself that he can do anything that he wants to do. But yet he's showing a bigger spiritual situation. We're all dead. We're all dead. I put this down in part of it. Let's go back to the scriptures real quick. I want you to see this. Verse 13, ain't this the way Jesus operates? And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. Don't you love it when Jesus tells you something that's contrary to what's going on in your life? Come on now. You ever done that? You're scared out of your mind, you're crying, you're broken, you're weeping, you've lost everything you thought was important, and all of a sudden Jesus starts out with, weep not. The only reason I wouldn't be crying at this point is I've cried myself out. You've not lived yet unless you've cried yourself out. Anybody done that yet? Where you want to cry but you can't? You wish for tears but they won't come? That's the only reason she wouldn't be weeping. Not because she found joy. Not because she's happy. Not because Jesus is present all of a sudden. It's because, you know what? I don't have no more tears. God, you showed up a little bit too late. Listen to God even when it's tough to listen to Him. Listen to Him when it's tough. Listen to Him when you've run out of ideas, ability, strength, your wit, your ability, your talent. When you've run out of all that, listen to Him then. Listen to Him then, because you know what He's going to say then? He's going to say, it's really going to change everything. And you've got to be willing to listen. There was a time back March 28th. Actually, a couple days after that, that, man, my life got turned upside down all in one day. And my flesh, man, I was raging one day. And God really slowed me down. He said, Kevin, if you'll talk to me right now, I can help you. And I wanted to talk. I wanted to do some stuff. But for one of the first times in my life, you know what I said? I said, God, I really need you to help me right now. Where I won't say something that I don't want to say and do some things that I don't want to do because I don't want to lose my testimony over something that I know that I can't handle right here. And you know what God did? For the next 4 or 5 hours, God started making some stuff really easy and really simple. And He started giving answers that I didn't have. And He started giving peace that I didn't have. Amen? I mean, I'd make it this simple. We were looking for one piece of paperwork that was stashed in about 20 years worth of papers. Amen? Guess what? We walked into a house, opened a box. I was looking in one. My brother was looking in another. And he said, I found it. It's right here. And if I could show you that room, that's a minor miracle. We walked out of there, and my brother even said, God's good. He answered prayers, didn't he? And I said, yeah, He answered prayers. Instead of going crazy, we went to God. Amen? Anyway, sorry for interjecting that. Let's go on a little deeper. And verse 14, and he came and touched the bier, that is the coffin, an open coffin. Why is Jesus touching dead things? I don't know, but I'm glad he does. And they that bare him stood still, and he said unto the young man, I say unto thee, arise. I want to say this before we move any further. I say it at every funeral, and sometimes I think I'm preaching funerals all the time, but I want to say this to you. You're preaching your own funeral right now. No, you're preaching your funeral right now. No man's ever going to preach your funeral. I've preached a lot of funerals. I've never preached a funeral. You're preaching that. Because you can pay somebody, you can get somebody, you can be related to somebody who will get in the pulpit and they'll try to say kind words about you. They'll get over you and they'll try to say some stuff. But let me tell you something. God knows you know, your family know what's really going on in your life. And guess what? That ain't going to change because you passed away. You're wasting time. You're wasting your life. Start living for God. And guess what? When it's all said and done, everything that needs to be said will be said by your actions and your words and your testimony and your life. You'll leave a legacy instead of destruction. That's important. It's important. It's important for you to know that. The devil would want you to keep going down this road and say, it's all about you. It's not all about you. There's kids, there's wives, there's families, there's mothers, there's fathers, there's brothers and sisters who would love day and say, I know, without a shadow of doubt, where he is, where she is, what happened, because they had a testimony, they had a life for Jesus. There's no doubt about it. Instead of walking back going, I hope, I wish, I think, I'm trying to remember back when they were 5, when they were 6, and that one time, instead, they're trying to grasp for wondering what happened to you. Instead of saying, oh God, I know. My heart's broke because they're not here, but they are in a better place. No doubt about it. I don't need a preacher to tell me. I don't need nobody to quote a scripture. I know because they told me so. I know because they lived it out in front of me. I thought this would be a better message. And they come and they touch the bear. And I thought about this. Jesus stops the funeral. He stops the funeral procession. I don't know why he stops this guy's funeral. But I'm glad he stopped mine too. Because I was on a straight death march. Anybody else on a straight death march here? I was on my way. Everybody was worried about what they wasn't worried about. When or where or how. They were just worried that the news. I remember my dad telling me over and over and over, I just kept thinking that somebody's going to come to our house and say, Kevin's dead, because I was on a death march, drinking, lying, stealing, thinking I had all the time in the world. I don't know why Jesus stopped my funeral march. I don't know why he got in my way. I don't know why he chose me. And when I'm saying this, I'm talking to you. Because I don't care who you are in here, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When he brought you out of your death march, I don't care if you thought you were going a good route, it was the same route to the same place at the same end. Aren't you glad that he reached over and intervened? I see the boy. I see the young man. Sitting in that casket, sitting in that, I remember my death clothes, I remember my death, I remember what I looked like, I remember what I sounded like, I remember who I was, I remember him, but I don't know him anymore. All of a sudden, your eyes pop open for the very first time. You hear for the first time, you see for the first time, you stand up for the first time, and all you can say is, I don't know how I'm alive, but since I'm alive, you get that one little... You get there. Have you ever watched the movies where the pulse comes back? Beep, beep. Beep, beep. You were flatlined. You were spiritually dead. That's what God's showing here. Every man is spiritual dead. Everybody's going to the same graveyard. But all of a sudden, Jesus, I don't know why. I can't explain why. I don't know why he stopped by my way. But he stopped the funeral. It's not too late. For him. It's not too late for her. But Jesus, you can't touch dead things. I'm not supposed to. But I do anyway. I'm not supposed to. But see, Jesus was different than everybody else. Jesus didn't mind to mar up his lineage, his heritage. He didn't mind to be touched by people who didn't need to be touching him. Think about the little woman with the issue of blood just sitting by the roadside. I don't know who told her. She'd been to doctors for 12 years. Spent all that she had. Have you ever spent all you had? Sat on the side of the road and she said, if you could just touch Jesus, you'll never be the same. If I touch him, for years I thought, if I get Jesus. You know what she did? She sat over there and she said, when he went by, she touched the very hem of his garment. I mean, just barely touched it. But guess what? She touched the outside. He touched the inside. I mean, he reached down. Her issue of blood, I mean, it was down in her bowels. And all of a sudden, bam, she was healed. From that very moment, she lets go. And Jesus stops and said, I feel the power has gone out of me. There's been an explosion of power gone out of me. She said, I can't be hid anymore. I went to touch him, and he was touching me. Amen? That's how God works. This little old boy, he's sitting in that casket, he's sitting in those grave clothes, and all of a sudden, Chris, I don't know if you remember it or not, the eyes come open, you breathe for the first time, and you sit up, and for the first time in your life, you say stuff like this, I love you! Remember? I didn't even know what that word was until I got saved. What love meant to me was, what can you do for me? When you get saved is, what can I do for you? You love for the first time. You breathe for the first time. You stand up for the first time. You got that heartbeat. You know what you say? Oh my God, I'm alive. I've not even been alive. I've not ever been alive. Until this day, I think I want to live life a little bit differently. Because he came by my death march. Can you see the second chance? Can you see the heartbeat open up? Listen, if you're saved in here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Every single day since you've been saved, you've been alive. You know what you said? I can't believe he came by my way. I can't believe he woke me up out of this death place. But I'm glad he did. I don't know why. Somebody asked me, well, if he saved you, why don't he save all these? I don't know. I don't know what God's doing. I'm not God. I just know that I was dead. And he stopped that and started a new life in me. You know what I do now? Just tell everybody else. You can stop the death march. You can stop the funeral procession. Let Jesus show up in your life. Amen? And stop your death march. Has your death march stopped yet? Has it? If it hadn't, it's easy. You come up here as a dead man and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And give me life. Because you've not even been living up to this point. You've not even been living. Jesus heals people in the Bible to have a spiritual connection to a actual physical thing. We're all spiritually dead. We all needed Jesus to pass by during our death march and wake us up. And guess what? After he wakes us up, you've got a second chance. You're living it. You're living your second chance. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with your second chance? I'm busy. I'm too old. I'm too young. I've got too much going on. Maybe next year, maybe next time, if somebody ever asked me, why don't you do this? God, can y'all see that guy yet? Can y'all see him? I bet that day he didn't stay in those grave clothes or in that casket any longer than he had to. Set this thing down. Get this off of me. What? Hey, let's go and do stuff. Let's go tell everybody what happened to me. And I hope he never, ever settled. Let's all stand as Scott comes to get some. I hope he never settled. I hope he never settled. I hope he never settled. Do you know what I mean? I hope it's...